Okay, let's get into Parshas Vayetze, Tavshin Pei Vav, as we are in the Parsha of birth. More people born in this Parsha than, more famous people at least, than many others. A lot of people born in Parshas Bereishis also, and Parshas Noach, but here of course we have 11 of the Shvatim, and we have Dina, but we start off with Yaakov Avinu running away from Esav, and listening to his parents who told him to go save his life, and to run away, and go find a wife. And we start off with a thought that we did half of it a number of years ago, but now we'll do the whole piece and the other half as well. And that is the beginning of the parsha. We have Vayetzi Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. Yaakov runs out of Be'er Sheva, runs to Haran, as we know. And Rashi is bothered. Vayetzi Yaakov already left. We know from the end of last week's parsha, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana, and he went to Haran. Why does it have to repeat it? So Rashi quotes his pshat that the tzaddik is Osa Roshem, Vayetze Vayelech. So if you look in the Beis Halevi in source number one, the Beis Halevi quotes Rashi. Why does it say that? You see also Nikar the Yasiya Tzaddik Osa Roshem. Odi Shlomer. There's another idea. Other idea of the repetition of Vayetze and Vayelech. Od Yesh Lomar. To Bechal Adam Hayotze Mimakom L'Makom. Every place, every time that a person goes from place to place, there are two reasons why we might go from place A to place B. There are two reasons. Yesh Bezeh Ofanim. Od Yesh Tachliso Hi HaYetzia Mimakom HaRishon. Reason number one is we need to get out of the place where we were. We want to leave. The Iker is the exit. Mishum Eza Siba, for whatever reason, I can't be in there. I need to leave. V'alkein mukrachu leilech l'makam acher. That's why I have to go to place B, because I don't want to be in place A. Aval ikar kavanaso v'ratzonu hi yitzia. Not that I have so much interest in where I'm going, but I need to leave where I am. Oh, or the opposite. O mishum betzorach lios m'makam asheni. Or is the ikar that I am moving there? Not so much that I'm leaving where I was, but I'm not leaving, I'm going. V'zeo ikar tachlas kavanaso b'halicha. And that's the ikar of the traveling. So which is it? Says the Beis Halevi, Yaakov Avinu had both kavanas. Vayetze, vayelech. Why? Because he was doing kibbut av, and he was doing kibbut eim. Ubi Yaakov nislachtu shtei kavanas. The ikar kavanaso ba'alicha, so the ikar kavana with his going is l'kaim, it says kibbut av ha'aim. L'rifka amrela, why did Rifka imenu tell him to leave? Esav wants to kill you. Hine Esav achicha misnachim l'chal hargecha, v'yata brach l'chal lavan, go save yourself. The ikar though is the leaving. The ikar kavanasi ishalo yehe be'er sheva. Makam she Esav sham. Don't be here where he could kill you. So listening to his mother, kibud aim, that's the vayetze. He's vayetze listening to his mother. Uli Yitzchak l'amar calls us. Yitzchak didn't know that. Or Yitzchak didn't say that. Right? Rak shalo yikach isha b'roz kenan. V'tziva l'kum lech padan aram. V'kach le'isha b'roz kenan. Lavan. Go there to find a wife. So Yitzchak's kavana and instructions was go there. The ikar is the going there, not so much leaving here. So Yaakov had the kavana for both. Shneim shehiya yitzia v'gam ha'alicha l'charan. Right, the going out and the coming in. Ushneim hayu aslo le'ikar v'tachlis. That's the first pasuk in our parsha. It's not about the physical, geographical, what happened. We know that from the end of last week. He left and he's going to come to Haran. Right, we know in a few psukim now. But this pasuk is telling us the kavanas. Vayetze Yaakov. Yaakov left that place because that's what his mother told him to do. Vayelech Harana. That is what his father told him to do. And if this applies on a individual level, it could also apply on a national level. As the Beis Halevi continues, relating to Galus. We know Yaakov Avinu is the Av of Galus. He's the Av that the Meshech Chachma quotes in Vayigash. We've quoted this, that he's the only one of the Avos that have a Maros Halayla. He has a night vision. He has a night vision because he's the Av. He's the Av that writes Mayriv, Filas Arvis. He's the symbol of a Jew in Galus, the symbol of a Jew without a centralized Beis HaMikdash and Hashras HaShchina. So Yaakov Avinu here going to Galus, and Yaakov Avinu later on in Vayigash when he again goes to Galus, right? That is Maisa Avos, Simin and Yitzira Labanim, right? That's a Simin Labanim, or as the Ramban says, Yitzira Labanim. Our going into Galus, whether physically or right now, we're in the throes, we're in the stages of Geula, but we still don't have a Mikdash. So that means we're still in Galus. We're still in exile from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full presence. So that Galus is meant for two purposes. As the Beis HaLevi is about to say, that we can't be in centralized Eretz Yisrael with a Beis HaMikdash. We can't be here with an Onesh, or the land can't, you know, can't bear us, right? It was the Yitzia, but it was also the Onesh of being there. The Onesh and everything we had to be and receive in Galus. Let's see what the Beis HaLevi says. Based on Psukim, Tahare, he says, V'kavanas HaMedrash, line 28. Dimifarish. To call Mashakasa Biyakov, who's Simon Labana Bagalusam. Everything happens to Yaakov is a Simon Labanim. The Gam Bahema, you stayed Dvarmanal. Also, the reason that we were in Galus all the years. And again, Baruch Hashem, we're on our way back. But the reason with that, the concept of Galus throughout the centuries, what was the purpose of that Galus? Twofold. Hayetziah Vahagerish Me'eret Yisrael. It was the not being in Eretz Yisrael as a punishment, or as a, the land can't stand the behavior that we did. And being in the place, the land that was not ours. Ushneim heim bahem l'tachlis. And they both had a purpose. So number one, leaving was that we couldn't have the schus of being in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore we left. Vizeh, continuing, lohaya line 40, lohaya l'onesh al chetam. The fact that we went into exile and that we were no longer in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem didn't have to punish us that way. He could have kept us in Eretz Yisrael and punished us there. The problem is, if we would have stayed there, as we have discussed, then, you know, Hashem would have destroyed us and the Beis HaMikdash, not just the Beis HaMikdash. So we had to leave. Hashem had to take a substitute, right? The Beis HaMikdash was a substitute and he sent us in. But also there was a purpose of being in Galus. And you could say this in various ways, either as part of our punishment to suffer by the Umos HaOlam, or you know, in a more Hasidic way, to gather up all the Nitzotzot HaKedusha, that were the, all the sparks of holiness that were there in the exile and bringing it back in. But either way, also in Chutz La'aretz and in Galus in general, we achieved, we had both purposes. That we had a Yetziah from Eretz Yisrael and a Haga'ah to the lands of a Galus. And that's why, you know, at the end, you know, we never stayed in a Galus. We did, I mean, most couple hundred years, but at the end, no Galus ever ended well. No Galus ever ended well. And therefore we're getting back. We're heading back. But that's Yaakov Avinu in the beginning of the Parsha Vayetzav Ayelech is really the model for all Galios. Okay. So now we have the ladder. We have the Sulam. Mutzav Arzav Rosho Magia Shamaima, the Sulam that is solid on the ground. Its top is in heaven. Vihile Malach Elokim Olivi Yardimbo. Angels going up and down, which we've quoted the Maharal and others in the past. So here's the thought quoted. Mayana Shal Torah we know is a somewhat contemporary Likut. So sometimes he'll quote, most of the time he'll quote the Sefer by name. But here he just quotes Svarim. Svarim, okay, you got to look in the Svarim to find the Svarim. So hopefully we will. But he quotes there in source number 2. Ha'adam mashul usulam. We are all a ladder. We are all like a ladder. Sha'afa bishu mutza baraglov artsa. Umukrach lis'asik binyanim artsiyim gashmiyim. Even though we are physical and we are finite and we are subject to the laws of gravity and our feet are stuck on the ground. Yet, because those rosha magia shamaima. Our feet are on the ground, but our heads could be in heaven. Im hu oset akol l'shem shamayim. If everything we do is l'shem shamayim, for Hashem, harei hu magia ad l'shamayim agavon b'yoser, we could reach the upper worlds. Like how far we could reach with the effect of our actions. Ma'isav shaladam ba'olam hazeh magiyim el sanhag mani'im. Right? The ma'isim of a person in this world can move, can affect the play of Hanhago HaElyona Bashamayim Machrim Esakaf. We can affect things in heaven. In whatever way we act, but we might be down here, but we could affect the upper worlds in ways that we can't even fathom. V'hineh malachei Elokim olim v'yardim bo, says the Ma'ayan HaShel Torah, the malachim go up and down bo based on us, based on how heavenly or earthly we behave. Shafilu ha-malachim tuluyim bo, even the angels themselves are tali on people. Imhu oved Hashem, if I serve my God as Baruch Hu, gam ha-malachim is alam al yado. The angels are raised up and uplifted through my actions. Vim chalila lehefich, and if chas v'shalom the opposite, harei gam heim yordim al yado. We affect the upper worlds. Remember, the entire world is basically, so to speak, robotic. They don't have bechira chavshis, they just act. The Rambam says, like the sun and the moon and the stars, the Rambam says that they have awareness. And the Rambam even says they have self-awareness. So we can't know what does that mean? That the sun is aware of itself? The sun doesn't have a brain? So we can't fathom that. But okay, you ask a dog about a human brain. A dog can't fathom a human brain. Does it mean that it doesn't exist? Okay, it does exist. So if you ask us about the sun and the moon and the stars, the Rambam says that they have self-awareness. But they don't have a choice. Right? They don't have bechira. So their actions don't affect in the same way. Right? We are not angels, and we are not animals. We're the only ones that could have a hashpa'ah on Hashem's world, and that's what the Ma'ayan HaShel Torah says. Ha'adam hu ha-moshel b'chal abriya. We are the moshel. B'hashpa'as ma'isav ha-shal anhag al-yona l'gabe ha'olam. So he quotes the Svarim. Anybody that we could find? This is the Svarim that we are mashpia. So maybe what he has in mind is the Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim Yivolozhin says this towards the beginning of his Sefer. Many who learn the Nefesh HaChaim focus on Shar Dalad, which is about Talmud Torah, but the beginning, the first three Sharim, he writes that the fourth. But in the first Shar, he speaks about Vayetze. And then he relates to this idea as well. So we'll go backwards. First we'll see Aleph Yates in source number 3, and then we'll see earlier in the Sefer where he says exactly this thought. Says Rav Chaim Yivolozhin and Nefesh HaChaim. You know, it was called Nefesh HaChaim. They named it that after he died, as Talmidim put it out. Beforehand, it might have been called, they say, it's Nefesh Tzimtzum, but now it's Nefesh HaChaim because, you know, they gave him the credit after he was Nifter. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, V'hu inyan mare hasula mutzav artsa. The latter is mutzav artsa, as we just saw. V'lo amar mutzav ba'aretz, ela artsa. It doesn't say that it was standing in the ground. Ba'aretz. The ladder was in the ground. Right? Let's say you want to put the ladder on the backyard to go up to the roof. So you'll stick the ladder, and sometimes the ladder will make two holes in the dirt, but then it'll be solid. That's not what it says. It doesn't say ba'aretz. Shepirusho ela artsa. What did it say? Artsa. Right? It was mutzav artsa. Artsa, Rashi says a few times already in Sefer Bereishis. A hey at the end of a word is in place of a lamed at the beginning of a word. So it's as if it said, Vesula mutzav la'aretz, to the ground. What do you mean to the ground? What it was facing to the ground? Shepirusho la'aretz. Umashma'o, sherosh ikar sharsho bashamayim ima'au, umishamu mishtalsho v'yored al la'aretz yagia. The latter symbolizes the mission of the human being. Hashem sends down from heaven, from Shemayim, the ladder, which is our neshama, he says, and he puts it into us. But it starts all the way up there. You know, we usually think of a ladder, it starts down here and then goes up. No, this ladder starts up there. The neshama, the tselem elokin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, the soul that starts off there, and then it comes down and he puts it into us. And it's pointed downwards. That's what it means, mutzav artsa. That's how you know it's facing down. V'hu anishmas chaim shel ha'adam. The latter is our neshama. Shemisatzeles kaviyachol minashimas piv yisbarach shemo. That is gets its existence from the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol. U'mishtam mishtal sheles l'vesu'ub kisula mu'vishal sheles. U'miskasheres ma'ruach v'chulu. Ad rita lezeh olam, it comes down all the way down through the upper worlds and spheres. Excuse me, until it comes down into our body and into this world. But that's the sulam. The sulam is the ladder that connects. It's Hashem giving us our neshama and putting it into us. But now look what he says, exactly what we just said. What does that mean? That we have this neshama, because we have this neshama in our guf, but rosho magia hashamayma. It comes from there, even though mutzav artsa. Hashem sent it down here, but the goal of, our goal is to like, send it back the other way. And we can. Now it says the Nefesh HaChaim in source number 4. Vizos Toras HaAdam Kol Ish Yisrael. Every Jew has to know this. Al Yomar Belibo Chas V'Shalom. A person can never say, Ki Ma'ani Uma Kochi Lif'ol B'Masaya Shveilim Shum Inyan Ba'Olam. What is my little action going to accomplish in life? My bracha. I'm going to say a bracha. I'm here all by myself. I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to say a bracha with Kavana. Where is that? Does Hashem really care about my little bracha? Does Hashem really care if I like hold myself back from getting angry from somebody who said something not nice or somebody who took my spot? Is there really an effect? Says the Nefesh HaChaim, we have no idea how much our little, any challenge that we have, right? To watch our eyes, to watch, to wear something, you know, that, that maybe I'd want to wear something else, but, I have to wear this because this is what halacha says. Amnam yavin v'yeda v'yikva b'machshavos libo. I have to be koveya in my heart. Shakol prate ma'asav v'diburav. U'machshavosav. Kol eis v'rega. Every single action, word or thought. Every thought that we have, lois avidu chas v'shalom Hashem, is not lost. There's never something that's gone. U'marabu ma'asav u'ma'ok alov u'ramosha kol achas. Everything we have goes up. Ola kafishar shol lifol pu'ulasa begavim romim has amazing effects in shamayim. Amazing effects. And again, one might think that's a little scary. Every single thought, every single, what if I thought of something that I'm upset about? It's okay if you're upset about it, you can cancel it out. That's the concept of regret and shuva. Yeah, the beautiful thought we've mentioned in the past. Hashem is zocher kol hanishkachos. What does that mean? Hashem remembers all the things that are forgotten. What's the message for us? If we focus on our mitzvahs, I am so good. You know what I did? I did this mitzvah, that mitzvah. I'm awesome. Hashem doesn't think about those because we didn't forget about them, right? If we forget our mitzvahs, I know I did that, but I have more to do. If Hashem zocher kol hanishkachos, but it's the opposite by averus. If we remember our averus and we feel really bad about them and we're upset about what I did, Hashem doesn't remember those. Hashem only remembers the ones that we forgot. Zocher kol hanishkachos. It works for mitzvahs. And it works for others. So we could, well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's, right. Well, four people were perfect, but they weren't the leaders of the Dar. But now he says in the Haggah, beautiful. The Kar of Lishmoa, and I could even, put this into what it says in Pirkei Avos. Da mala mala mimcha, right? Which Pashup Shah means, know what's above from you. Know what's above from you. No, mala, Hashem's above from you. So he says, no. Da mala mala, everything that's above mimcha is from you. You cause everything above. Da mala mala mimcha. Rotzel omar, ki im eincha ro'e be'einecha ha'inyonim hanoraim. If you don't see the amazing things, hana'asim mima'asecha, that are being done from your actions, aval teida ne'mana, you should know. Ki kol ma she'nase lamala bolamos ve'elyonim, everything done in the upper worlds. Gevoi gevoim, hakol mimchahu. Human beings, people, affect. We affect. Alpi ma'asecha la'anotim, alpiem, and therefore, says Rav Chaim Yivalashin, we have to recognize every little thing that we say, everything, every little pasuk that we say, every single smile that we give someone who feels a little, feels a little bad. Ube'emes, mi ha'ish echacham v'yaveina zos lu'umat la'amito, who could come to this true realization. Libo yachil bekirbo, will start shaking. B'sumo al libo al ma'isav ha'shalot tovin, that if we didn't use our time, Ashechan Magiyam, he even says, Harbe Yosem Yashechar Nebuchadnezzar Vatitas. If we don't use our power properly, then we're destroying even more than Nebuchadnezzar and Titus destroyed. We think they destroyed. They broke down a house. Ketusha already left. Right? The Ketusha already left. Halanu Nebuchadnezzar Vatitas, Loasim Mazem Shumpagamba Kilkol, Klalamala. Did Nebuchadnezzar do anything up above? He was a Russia. And he did what he did down here. Not upstairs. He didn't affect Yerushalayim Shamala. Nebuchadnezzar did something down here, as Titus did. But the Shekhinah was already gone based on what we did earlier. But what we could do upstairs is something beyond that we could even imagine. Okay. So we have to recognize we are each ladders that hit the heavens. And we can, our effects, we could climb up and have amazing power. Moving right along, very interesting discussion coming up. So we know Yaakov sleeps, and where is he sleeping? Where exactly is Yaakov sleeping? It says, when he wakes up, he's like, whoa, I didn't know this place was so holy. Manorah makom, where's he sleeping? Manorah makom hazeh. So without remembering the Rashi, we'll say, yeah, he's in Yerushalayim. That's where it was all taking place. He was in Yerushalayim. That's where Manorah makom hazeh, the makom hamikdash, har moriah. If you remember the Rashi does not say that. Rashi does not say they were in Yerushalayim, or at least in the way that we understand Yerushalayim. What did Rashi say? Because Yaakov wakes up and he says, Ein zeki in beis elokim zeshar shamayim, right, which sounds like Yerushalayim, but then it says, Ve'ikras shema makomahu Beit El. Ulam luz shema yel rishona. It used to be called luz, now it's called Beit El. So where was he? Beit El, Yerushalayim. Yaakov Avinu says, Ein zeki in beis elokim zeshar shamayim. That's the base of Migdash. So, but he says, he called it Beit El. So Rashi says, Rashi, based on the Gemara Maseches Chulin partially, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, I'll read it. He says, Yaakov Avinu goes and he travels and he gets to Haran, according to Rashi. He got to Haran. And then Hashem says, wait, he got to Haran and he's not going to daven in the place where his forefathers davened? I can't allow that. So what happens? He goes back. Let me just find the Lashon of Rashi. Lashon of Rashi. Amar Blazer, Brashim Rabiosi Ben Zimra. Hasula Mazeh Omeid Be'Bersheva Ve'emsa Shipua Magia Keneged Beis HaMikdash. The bottom of the ladder was in Be'Bersheva, the top of the ladder was in Beit El, and the middle of it was in that was Yerushalayim. Somebody please make sure you mute. Somebody's not muted. She'Be'Bersheva Omeid Be'Deroma Shel Yehuda Yerushalayim V'Chulu. And let me just get the line. Ukelafisha Amar Abba Sein Shama Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzadik Zeh Bala Beis Maloni. The Pater Belolina, somebody's passed by the base of Migdash and left without sleeping there and talking. Omer ani sheneekar hamori ubalakan. What happens? So Rashi says that he ran back to Beit El. That's as far as he got, and then the sun set. And he went to sleep in Beit El. And Sheneekar Har HaMoriah Ubalakan. Hashem flew Har HaMoriah over to Beit El. V'zui Kfitzas HaAretz Shamur. We say there was Kfitzas HaDerech. What was the Kfitzas HaDerech? That Hashem brought Yerushalayim to Beit El. Yaakov came back normally. He went from Haran. He made it back to Beit El. And Hashem didn't make him go all the way back to Yerushalayim. He made it back to Beit El. Yerushalayim flew there. Shabbat Beit HaMikdash Likraso Ad Beit El V'zeh V'yifka B'makom. V'zeh V'yifka B'makom. That is the Rashi. Says the Ramban has a number of questions on Rashi, and we're going to see it this year through the eyes of the Gur Aryeh. Let's see the Gur Aryeh in source number 5. Hiksha Ramban. He deals with all the Ramban's kashas. Hiksha Ramban. Lama lo kafsa lo ha'aretz, source 5. Ela ara acher shabbat le Beit El. V'lo kodem biyato le Beit El. Right? Why? He only had, right? There was only Kfitzas HaDerech once he came to Beit El. Right? Why not early? Hashem wanted to bring Yerushalayim to him, so why didn't, like, he turned around from Haran? So why didn't Hashem just fly the base of Mikdash there? Right? Why does he have to, first he gets the bat to get back to Beit El, and then the base of Mikdash comes there. V'tirei tzara aims, he quotes, The Mizrahi says, Shahaya Zeh, Kadesh Yispalo B'Shnei Makomos Yachad. Mizrahi was an earlier Mefarish on Rashi, right, before the Gur Aryeh. Says the Mizrahi, 1400s, so that Beit El and Yerushalayim are two holy places, they could be like in the same spot. Hashem wanted to give Yaakov the ability to daven in that super holy spot. Shehem Shneim Chashuvim Yerushalayim U'Beit El, U'matovu Manaim Shiftam Yachad. That is the Mizrahi. Says the Maharal now. V'li nire v'loi deloi tachin binyan acher. Says the Ramban, I don't think there's another way that it could have happened. Ki echi tachin, ki tikbot beis ha-migdash la-adama temeya b'chutz la-aretz. It could. Ramban says, why didn't it go all the way? He's going to bring Yerushalayim to Chutz Laretz. Chas v'shalom. He brought it back. He met Yaakov at the first stop on the way back into Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't going to send the Beis HaMikdash Har Moriah back to Chutz Laretz. Right? That's not what he was going to do it. It couldn't fly to Haran because it wasn't going to have Tumas Chutz Laretz. So the first Mechubad spot that Yaakov got to on the way back, Leficha Chutz Laretz at Beit El, Shemakom Nichbad Gam Kein Ma'od, V'sham Ba Beis HaMikdash. And that's where the Beis HaMikdash came. And now the Maharal says, I'll tell you what I think the really the pshat is, but you know what? Rashi didn't say it. But this is what I really like, says the Ramban. Says the Bekur Aryeh, and it helps answer another pshat of the Ramban. I'll ask the question now, that the Ramban asks, that he's going to answer. This, the Gemara says that there were three that had Kfitzas HaDerech. Right? Eliezer Eved Avraham, we had 2 weeks ago, Chayisara. Avishai Ben Sruya, remember that story where David HaMelech was caught by Yishbi Benov, and he was about to be killed, and Avishai sees a message, he sees blood in the shower, and he quickly goes to say, Kfitzas HaDerech, ends here, and Yaakov. Says the Ramban, this one is not like the other two. It's not the same type of Kfitzas HaDerech. Right, by Avishai and Eliezer, what was Kfitzas HaDerech? The person went zooming, and it made the trip in like one day. What happened here? The Beis HaMikdash flew to Yaakov. Yaakov didn't have Kfitzas HaDerech, so it's not parallel. So what does the Gemara mean, that there were three that had Kfitzas HaDerech? So that's another question that the Maharal is trying to answer. The Kashali. So he says, line 11, Midochak Rashi Lefarish to Chazer Ad Beit El. Havi Le Lefarish to Kofsalo Haaretz Ad Beit El. V'hu Ba B'Kfitza Ad Beit El. V'sham Ba Beis HaMikdash. V'krasa Watcham. Maybe there was a double kvitsa. Yaakov also had kvitsas haderech. He had kvitsas haderech to get to Beit El. The Beis HaMikdash had kvitsas haderech to come there. Boom! But Rashi didn't say that. There was only one kvitsa. The Beis HaMikdash came. Why didn't Rashi say that? Because if you would say like my pshat, that answers the Ramban's kasha too. What did the Ramban say? This isn't like the other kvitsos. Oh yes, it is. Yaakov also had kvitsas haderech. Vashta havi b'toretz kol kushius haRamban. Says the Maharal. Shehiksha. Loma tikpots lo haaretz achar shechazer el Beit El. Right? Why was the kvitzah derech after his chozer bo? Right? Meaning, why did Yaakov have to schlep and to Beit El? Just do go. He didn't schlep. He also had kvitzah derech. According to this suggestion of the Maharal. Right? He didn't. Vod hiksha dari mashvada kvitzah isa kamok kvitzah shal eliezer evad avra vishabay tsruya. And also, this is linked in the Gemara with the other two pizzos. So the Ramban asked three kashas, says the Maharal. My pshat answers all of them. Number one, why did it only go halfway and you made Yaakov schlep halfway? No, you didn't make Yaakov schlep at all. He also had kvitsa. Number two, why didn't it go out? Because it couldn't have gone to Chutz Laretz. Okay, and went to Beit El, maybe using that Mizrahi. And number three, but it's not like the other kvitsos. Sha'amru Sanhedrin Shekav Shalem Maharetz. Lo Sha'tavo Beis HaMikdash Elav. So, my pshat fits all. V'mayarashi mefarish akapsalo haaretz at shabab berega achas lebeit el azlavi kashamidi. There would be no questions. Darei akvitza zu kamo shar akvitzas. So why didn't Rashi give this pshat? The Maharal says, I like this pshat. Why didn't Rashi give this pshat? Says the Maharal. Then, v'ulai Rashi nitchak lazem ebrei shuk shalodim kapsalo haaretz lavo berega achas. If he had kvitzas haderech, lama lo ba berega achas lagamri al hara moria. If he had kvitzas haderech, right, not thinking about the Mizrahi right now. So once he had kvitzah, why didn't Hashem fly him all the way back to Yerushalayim? Why only to Beit El? So again, if you say like the Mizrahi's shot because he wanted to give him a double makom kadosh, he wanted Beit El and Yerushalayim together, okay, fine. But if you don't say that, why didn't he fly him all the way back to Yerushalayim? Right, maybe that's why Rashi didn't say my pshat, says the Maharal. The Bishlomayim Nefarisha Beis HaMikdash Balikraso. If the Beis HaMikdash came close towards him, lo haya bar rakat Beit El v'lo chutz laretz Beis HaYadam HaTameya, as we saw. Aval lepirish harayim, but according to the Mizrahi, that you wanted to have both places, havimatz lefarish aperkach. Shekafsa lo aretz shebala Beit El v'sham bala armariya. But the Mizrahi pshat, right, you could have had, this came that way, this came that way. So I like my pshat, but maybe... Maybe the reason is because if such a nes happened, maybe the Gemara should have said it. Right? There was kvitsa, that if there was a double kvitsa, if Yaakov Avinu jumped and the Beis HaMikdash jumped, that's never happened before. So maybe that's why it was not said by the Rishonim. Line 35. El shekol zehu nira be'inai racho kach kvitsa shebol sham hara moria. Ki avi lo tamud lafarish dover zeh. Even though I like this shot, I recognize that the Gemara didn't say it. And therefore, I guess you have to go back to the Mizrahi, put it all together. But, interesting ideas. But again, according to Rashi, right, we don't realize this. Rashi says the Beis HaMikdash, the Har Moriah, is what had Kfitzas HaDerech here, to meet in Beit El. Okay. So now we get to the story of Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. Wow. So much to say. So Yaakov Avinu comes and he, falls in love, love at first sight, right? It gives him all the strength in the world. He takes the rock. And, he pushes it off the well. And Yaakov Avinu says, Vayomer, Vayav Yaakov versus Rachel by Shlishi. Vayomer, Evatcha Shevashana Barachel Bitcha Haktana. Okay? 7 years, I want to work for your daughter, Barachel Bitcha Haktana. It's, you know, very specific, as Rashi points out. Vayomer Lavan, Lavan has a very strange answer. Okay, might as well. Can't find anybody better. It's an amazing line. Tov Titi Osalach, we Titi Osalish Acher. Might as well give it to you than anybody else. Shvayi Madi. Right, he shows the tzidkus knot of Lavan. So Yaakov Yaakov Rachel Sheva Shanim, Vayibe'enav Kiyam Machadim Mavasa Osa. So Yaakov works for Rachel for 7 years, and in his eyes it was like Yamim Achadim. So we've mentioned in the past a thought of the Malbim, but we're going to mention a similar thought now, but I found it in the shot of Bali Tosfos on Chumash, so that's a little more authoritative. Again, the Malbim's great, but if you could find it, 700 years before the Malbim, we're going to use that too. And that's the question of, Yaakov loved Rachel, and therefore it was just like Yamim Achadim. I mean, it was like, the days went quicker. He loved her. It was like nothing. Ask the Malbim, ask the Bali Tosfos. Usually if you love something and you can't get it, time goes slower. Right? Not faster. Right, if I love a certain food and I can't get the food for a certain amount of time, I count down the days. Time goes slowly. Right, so what does this mean? Right, Hikshom Afarshim, the Ishtam, here quotes from the Bali Tosfos, the Hadar Zakenim. There's a number of compilations of Bali Tosfos. There's a Sifas, right, there's a Das Zakenim, Bali Tosfos, there's Hadar Zakenim. There's a few Bali Tosfos collections on Chumash. So he quotes, again in the question, Hikshom Afarshim al Davarzeh, Adarabe het Teva huay pihipuch. Naturally, it will be the opposite. Shem kolkach ohevosa v'lod achareha yom echad yidam edav kenetzach. Time goes slower. If I really want something and I'm yearning for something. So he quotes from the Bali Atosus that the description of kiyam machadim is not talking about the speed of time. It's not talking about the speed of time. Time went so fast. No. That's not the emphasis of the pasuk. Shapir Shukila Olam Ein Kavanah Baze Alazman. Shahayu Sheva Shana Bein of Kilu Avarak Yam Machadim. It wasn't that 7 years was just like a couple of days. Zebavade Ein Onachon Ki Adar Rabbi Yichashiv Elein Alazman Rav Yosef Lomaat. Rakapirishu Ki Es Kol Avodaso Shavad Es Lavan B'Meshach Sheva Ashanim. The point is, everything that he did in the 7 years was worth it. And it was like nothing in his eyes. Not like it went quicker, but it was worth every drop of blood, sweat, and tears. Because look what I'm getting for it. Ki'ilu hayu eilu rak yam machadim. Mikivan sheba'avuram zacha barachel. V'chol dover ba'olam lo nechshav l'klum. Luma z'chia chashuv azu. Nothing in the world will, you know, what I look at as a big sum. He realizes the godless of Rachel Imenu. Right, it reminds me a little bit of the Vart that we've mentioned in past years. We say in a Sheva Brachis, right, we say that the makar for getting married for Kesef Kiddushin is first off of Mezeches Kiddushin, Exera Shava, Kicha Kicha Miste Ephraim. Right, Kicha Kicha, just like Avram Avinu bought the Maras HaMachpelah, so too, every man has to give his wife something of value. And then Mefarshim, the Baalei Machshava, ask, what is the connection between buying a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, Maariv HaMachpelah, and getting married? So one shot that we have mentioned is, if you would have asked Avraham, knew who got the better deal? Who got the better deal? Avraham would have said, what are you talking about? The gateway to heaven for 400, you know, I don't know, 5 million zuzim, whatever it was in the going rate. I just paid $1 million. Yeah, it's nothing, for sure. I got the better deal. What do you mean? I would have paid anything for this. I would have paid anything for this. And if you would have asked Ephraim, no, who got the better deal? Ephraim would be like, he is crazy. You know what I got for a farshtunkenous cave and a couple of trees and a field? I got $5 million for nothing. And that's the bracha that we give, that the Chazan HaKalah should look at each one, that each of them should say, I got the better deal. I got the better deal. That's the message of that halacha. But again, this is the idea of Yaakov Avinu, nothing, b'yamachadim, b'avasa osa. Right? It was like nothing, but look what I'm getting. Look what I'm getting. Wow. Okay. Okay, we get to a drasha of Rabbi Lamb. A number of years ago, we had a different drasha of Rabbi Lamb on this parsha, which was unbelievable, if you remember, where he spoke about the attitude of how Yaakov Avinu got the rock off. And he said, it was a rock, it was a stone, or was it a pebble? He says, if you remember then, he spoke about, if you really have a great attitude and you're happy and you are psyched about something, you can move worlds. Yaakov Avinu saw Rachel, he says, he pushed the rock off. But if you had the attitude of we can't, lo nuchal, what the shepherds say, lo nuchal, we can't, till everybody comes. Their attitude was lo nuchal, then they can't. Then it was a stone. So he spoke about life. Sometimes it could be, depending on our attitude, it could be a stone or it could be a pebble, depending on how we look at it. Okay, that was that, Vayetze. Now we have a different one, where he gave this drasha, as you see, November 18th, 1961. All of his drushes are lemaisa, just at the moment that they were given. So this one is called Thank Heaven. That's the name of this drusha. So he talks about Rav Sadia Gaon, who says that a thousand years ago, the greatest great Rav Sadia Gaon taught that our Torah is reasonable. The human intellect by itself can discover the great truths taught in the Torah. Given enough time and brilliance, the human mind can unaided arrive at the mitzvahs. As an example, he gives is gratitude. Hakaras HaTov. So he speaks about gratitude. We're always being modeh. First thing we say every morning, modeh ani lefanecha. We have modim that we have every time we daven. We have birchas hamazon, right? We have, and he gave this around the time of the end of November in America, which is Thanksgiving. So I'm guessing that this was the pre-Thanksgiving drasha that he gave that year. So it's amazing, he says, we've been saying thank you for a long time. And it's in our blood, right? We're even called Yehudim. But let's talk about that for a second. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachas, the first person to say moda, thank you, was Leah. Hapam odeh es Hashem, vayikra es shemo Yehuda. Right? Her fourth son, she named Yehuda. And many ask, Adam, Noach, nobody ever said, gave Hoda'a beforehand. All right, look at on the next page, in source number 8, on page 4. Noach, Shem, Aver, all were prophets who discoursed with Hashem. Did they never thank him? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Were they so callous and indifferent that they never acknowledged God's gifts to them? The answer, I believe, and this is his secret. He says there are two kinds of gratitude. Three kinds of gratitude. Hakaras HaTov could come from two roots. Thanksgiving can be understood as curtsy or conscience, social gesture or sacred grace, a way of talking or a state of the soul. What's he talking about? The most basic level of thank you is, you know, I kind of owe you. You did something for me, so I owe you. It's like a transaction. You know, that's etiquette. Etiquette is if you do something for me, I have to say thank you. Right? It's a kind of verbal receipt. You give me, I thank you. It's an amazing line. Oh, you gave that to me? Oh, thank you. You know, here's the thank you receipt. It's based on a theory of compensation. Just like I must pay in cash for what I purchase, I must say thank you for gifts and favors. Instead of paying in dollars and cents, I pay in expression of sentiments. Based on this idea, if you don't give me anything, then I don't have to say thank you to you for anything. Because thank you is just it's compensation. It's compensation. The compensation theory of thanks. Again, Rabbi Lamb, and I'll put Rabbi Sachs, right? They're in their own league of language. Their own league. I mean, each of them are in their own league, but, right? He says, the compensation theory of thanks is also reasonable and rational. If I do not thank for what I received, I'm an ingrate. Right? This is basic hodah. This is basic hodah that's rational. But it's only minimal, not spiritual, not truly worthy. Rabbi Lamb says, there are some phrases that we have that reflect this idea of gratitude. He says he saw on a city bus this week, it pays to be courteous. Oh. What does that mean? Meaning, there's nothing inherent about being a nice person. But it pays, because if you're courteous, then people are going to be courteous to you. Right? This is a selfish kind of thanks. It's a gratitude with an angle to it. It's like, crime doesn't pay. What does that mean? You might as well not do it, because you're probably going to be caught and thrown into jail. Crime doesn't pay. Honesty is the best policy. All of these phrases are very, very basic and superficial. At its worst, the kind of thank you is nothing more than a please in disguise. I'm being courteous and saying thank you now in the hope and the expectation I'll get the receipt of something bigger in the future. That's not what Leah did. That's not what Leah taught us. The higher kind of gratefulness is based not on compensation, but on consecration. The consecration of one's whole character. I thank you not just for giving me, but for being you. And just for being close to me. And for having that relationship. Even if you don't give me something. It is a state of mind in which a man is so devoted to the Almighty, so dedicated to transcendent values, that he feels himself grasped by a pervasive gratefulness, even when he has not received some special favor in advance. I just feel close to Hashem, or things that I didn't realize were gifts, I say they're gifts. Perhaps these two kinds of gratitude can be differentiated as thanksgiving for the lower expression and thanksgiving for the higher. Thankfulness, whereas thanksgiving and thankfulness, is a reaction of the total personality, deeply personal, profoundly human. And she says now, and Rabbi Lamb says now, think about Leah. This is unbelievable. And it's painful, but it's in the psukim. As we know, Leah thought, Rashi quotes, she was destined to marry Esav. Right? That's what Rashi quotes. And what happens finally? Her father forces her to go in and to trick. And what happened finally? Yaakov was with Leah. And what happens in the morning? He's furious. Who are you? You're my wife? Imagine what she thinks. But they're married. Okay, I'll work for the next wife. She knows she's second fiddle. She knows. And then what happens? She's finally, right, she's hated, so Hashem opens up her womb. What does the Pasuk say by Reuven? Finally, she has Reuven, right? And what happens? She says, oh, maybe now he's going to love me, right? Ki amra ki rashem ba'ani ki atoye havani ishi. Now my husband's gonna love me. Didn't work. Shimon. Ki shama Hashem ki sunu anocha v'itin li gam etzeh. V'tik v'shmo Shimon. Fataru v'tele bein. Now third. Hapam yilave ishi elai. Now my husband's gonna accompany me and start loving me. I have three kids. Right? I have three kids. Right? The Chizkuni, I think, here says, once you have three kids, you only have two hands. So when you go on a family trip, you gotta have, like, the husband's gotta come because you only have two hands to hold. Okay. They didn't have, backpacks in those days. But apam yilavei ishi. So she thinks, and guess what? She's still the second fiddle wife. After three kids, after everything she's been through, she could continue to be broken. She continued to be, braiges and forget the relationship. I'm not interested in being one of the imahos. And what does she do when she has her fourth child? She says, thank you. She recognizes that this is my lot. I need to focus on my brachas. And I'm going to say thank you. If you look at the continuation, where she says on page, where are we? 4, 5. This, what I just said is in Rabbi Lam as, right? And here is the greatness of Leah on the bottom left, shines forth in all its glory, her fourth child, Hapam Odes Hashem. This time when I realize and accept the fact that the greatest, most overwhelming desire of my life will not be granted to me by God, this time I will thank him. Despite all my failures and disappointments, I thank God. Hapam, this time, right? Because it is a way of reacting to God's very presence and not merely paying a debt for his favors. It's not about what's in it for me. It's about recognizing Hashem is here. I accept everything that he gives me and the situation that I am in. That's Rabbi Lam teaching us about a much deeper level of thankfulness. Again, that's a better word, as he says, than thanksgiving. Full of thanks. Thankfulness, even if there's nothing specific that is given right then. Okay, let's try to squeeze in two more if we can. The Ksav Sofer says, the Ksav Sofer notes that there might be a hidden meaning behind the conversation between Rachel and Yaakov. When Rachel is complaining, again, very harsh psukim. Again, we can spend the whole shiur on it. Rachel says, "Vater Rachel ki lo yodol Yaakov atakani Rachel bachusa." Rachel sees that she has no kids. Leah had 4; she has 0. Paraglamid. And she's jealous. Vatakani Rachel ba'achusa. Vatomer al Yaakov. Havali banim v'imayin mesa anochi. Pashas, again, I need children or else I'd rather die. Mesa anochi. Rashi quotes, somebody without children kilu is kilu mesa. And Yaakov gets angry. Am I in place of God? You think I'm in charge? Asher manach mimech pribaten? Very harsh, according to Rashi. What do you mean? What do you mean? You're saying that I should daven like my father daven? My father didn't have any kids. I have 4 kids. Like, what was he saying here? Right? Obviously, there's something much deeper. He loved her. But suggest this, the Ksav Sofer, a creative, underlying conversation theme going on here. Rachel obviously had tremendous, pain of not having a child. But her jealousy is not like our jealousy. She was not jealous of her sister. She had the jealousy, and therefore she looked in herself and wondered, is there something else that I need to be aware of? Vihine on line 11, source 11 now. Source 11 on page 6. Vihine Rachel lo hitkana ba'achosa kederach isha hamizkanas b'yare chaverta. Right? She's not, jealous like any other woman who would be jealous with her co-wife. She recognizes that her jealousy didn't stop. Like there must be something deeper to this jealousy. She says, I understand why it's so deep. Because the only reason that Yaakov married me and why this whole thing is working, Yaakov can marry 2 sisters? Many Mefarshim explain, that's only because there's the Shiftei Kah that are going to come out of these 4 women. But if I have no kids, says Rachel, then I'm just in violation. I'm in violation of an Isser of Shtei Achyos. And I caused it. Kentia iya Isser Yaakov mitam Shtei Achyos. V'zeo sha'amra hava libanim. Please, Yaakov, children, vim ayin mesa anochi. Or else I'm causing death, meaning, you know, this is an Isser of Shtei Achyos, which he says the Ramban even says, going back into Eretz Yisrael, that's why Rachel Imenu had to die on the way back in. But Yaakov Avinu connected to that answers, Hasachas Elokim Anochi. What does that mean? Am I God? No, he says, based on that Ramban, you're not going to be punished for anything. We're not Tachas Elokim, we're not now in Eretz Yisrael, which is where we fulfill all the mitzvahs, like the Ramban says. Hasachas Elokim Anochi, those Isurim, the mitzvahs, like the Ramban says, are only fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'eshev Yaakov, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, ki kol ador b'chutz la'aretz kilu ein lo eloka, ki yadua de mefarshim, v'chulu, and he continues, linyan tfila, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. That's what the Ramban, that's what Yaakov Avinu was telling Rachel. Rachel says, if I don't have a kid, then we're just living in sin. Says Yaakov, no, we're not in Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvos don't apply yet to us, according to that Ramban, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. Okay, just to mention, we're not going to read it inside, but the comment of the Bale, the Tur quotes, the Bale Turim quotes at the beginning of the Parsha, and others point out that Vayetze is one of the only Parshios that is what we call Sasum, closed. Right? There's no breaks in Vayetze, no Parsha Psuchas. It's all one long Parsha. And that's already mentioned by the Pali Tosfos al HaTorah and the Bale Turim. And if you look in source 12, the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz notes, and he says, why is it there's no Psuchas and Stumos? There's just his Kula Stuma, right? To show it's like covered up. And Yaakov Avinu ran away and he was covered up when he ran away from Esav. Okay. But there's another idea here that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz goes through. I gave you a big piece of it, but we're not going to read it inside because we're running out of time. And that is, this is the message again, like we started off this year. Yaakov is the Av of Galus. And sometimes throughout our long Galus, since we had a Beis HaMikdash, what's Sasum? It's like one big chunk. What's the message of one big chunk? We can't look at separate pieces of the puzzle because then things won't make sense and things won't fit. When we look at Galus, we have to look at it as the whole puzzle altogether, which we, with human eyes, we're not zochet to see. But that's the message of Vayetze being altogether. That everything that we've been through over the past thousands of years, and again, we still are not, we're not there yet. Right? We're not there yet. We're still davening for Yerushalayim Habanuya. We're still davening for our enemies to be taken away. Right? Ad Hayom Hazeh. So, the message and the chizik for us is that it's one big picture. Right, we've mentioned this in Agadah Shiurim, Chad Gadya, the message of Chad Gadya, it's all part of the plan. And there's going to come a time soon, V'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shach HaLamalach HaMavis. That's what we're waiting for. But we recognize that it's all one. We need to focus and realize, even if we can't focus, but we have to at least realize that there is a big picture, starting all the way back and going all the way forward. B'ezras Hashem, we should be zochet to see the last pieces of the puzzle put into the puzzle so we can be able to take a step back and look at it all and be zochet to see the geula, the Me'ir of Yameinu.